Today's text I'd like to share with you is from Psalm 84. The psalmist writes these words. He says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the house of the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Well, this morning we continue on with our Committed to Christ series, 6 Steps to a Generous Life. Today we're ready for step number 3, a life of worship. We've made the commitments to follow Christ and commitments to communicate to God with prayer and to read and to hear God's Word speak to us through His Holy Scripture. Today, we're going to be looking at living a life of worship. You see, worship doesn't just happen here in this place, in between these walls. Really, worship is to be all of life. I mean, think about it. What is worship? Really, what is worship? Is worship a place that I go to get something out of? Is that worship? Is worship about beautiful buildings or the right kind of music? Is that worship? Is worship about the sheer size of a church building or the number of the people that are gathered? Because often when people talk about church or talk about worship, that's one of the first things they talk about is, how big is your church? What kind of music do you sing? But is that worship? Is worship about the order in which we do things? Like, oh my goodness, we didn't have a slide in there for the children's lesson? Oh my, Pastor Andy just sprung that on us at the last second. Or, oh my goodness, the offering came last today. What is worship? Well, it's certainly not about us. And never are we to make worship about us. Worship is solely about God and bringing our very best to God. You see, worship is about breaking our hearts open and our souls open before the Lord and loving God with our whole being. And that is the sole reason we come here. Period. Nothing else. Opening our hearts, breaking our hearts open before God, loving God with our whole being is the only reason we gather. And if we happen to get blessed while we're doing this, man, that is just wonderful. That is just a great byproduct. But that is not the purpose of worship. It's not about me. It's about God. See, worship is about coming into the presence of the Lord and seeking Him out with our whole being only for the purpose of our love for God. And that's why worship is to be all of life. Because, you see, that happens around us 7 days a week. And yes, there is great value for the community of faith, for God's people together as one, to lift up our love and our thanks in corporate worship on Sunday mornings, and This is where we learn how to worship, and it's a safe place for us to blend our voices as one. This is where we are gathered as Christians, and we lift up our hearts and our lives and our struggles, and this is the one who we know who hears our prayers and who responds to us in community. And in corporate worship, we lean on one another, doing together what we are unable to do by ourselves. And so what we do here on Sunday mornings is imperative to our growth as disciples of Jesus. Listen, corporate worship is very much like a bonfire. Really, this is how you can think about it. This is the time of year that, you know, people kind of start having bonfires. And in fact, that's kind of, you know, the fall kind of thing to do, even though we didn't have much of a fall. It kind of went to just a little bit of cool days to snow and ice, right? but often this is the time of year that people have bonfires. And you see, I want you to be reminded of how bonfires are actually very much like what we do in worship. Corporate worship, because it's vital for us and vital as with us as God's people. The bonfire, you see, is like us, like the body of Christ, lifting up our love and our worship, our passion to God. Every log leaning on each other. So pastor's calling me a log, just a stick of wood this morning, huh? But it is. It's kind of like that. Every one of us leaning on each other and causing the fire to become more intense, hotter and hotter, higher and higher, lifting up the flames, lifting up our devotion, lifting up our commitment, our love being lifted up. That's what happens on Sunday morning when we gather our logs together and we lean on one another. And church, we can't do that. And we can't give God that kind of deep, authentic worship on our own, just by ourselves. It doesn't work like that if we try to do it just me. And if you don't believe that, the next time that you happen to make a campfire or you go to a bonfire, just take one of those burning logs that is hot with flame coming 2 feet off of it and knock that log off the fire and see what happens to that log. It'll burn bright for a while, but then those flames will start to diminish. Then you'll only have red coal, and then you'll just have smoke. Now let me say something that's a little hard, but it's very true, and I think I've been here long enough to say something that's a little hard. Okay? You all right? Okay. It's not just you that is affected when you miss church. It's not just you that's affected when we don't come and worship the Lord. You see, it diminishes everyone's experience and ability to bring the very best we can to God. If you pull off half of those, or two or three of those, or one of those logs, it diminishes what's there. Think about this. This is good stuff, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's true. It's true. You see, Sunday worship is like a bonfire. The more logs that we put on it, the brighter that it gets. But when our logs don't get into the fire, it's just not the same. So worship on Sundays, whether it's morning or night or midweek, is essential not only for you, but for all of us all together. Amen? Yeah. And you see, worship is all of life. Listen, anything that you do that brings pleasure to God, whether it be a Thanksgiving gathering and we're eating pumpkin pie and eating those Oreo slices of pie, well, again, is Jesus not smiling on us? Well, of course He is. We're bringing pleasure to the Lord as we gather with friends and family. And who are we lifting up? the Lord. And not just are we lifting up the Lord, but we're enjoying our time with one another. And don't you believe that God wants his people to enjoy their time together, even if they're not in church? But guess what? All of life is worship. You might not be in church, but guess what? You're kind of in church. Mm-hmm. Because all of life is worship. It's bringing pleasure to God. It's an act of worship. Worship is about opening up ourselves and lifting up our love for God. And this brings pleasure to God. And so what happens anytime... So worship happens anytime that we are bringing pleasure to God. And so when you're driving down the road and you're listening to WBCL and you're just singing in your soul or singing out loud, does that bring pleasure to God? Yes, he smiles upon that. That's worship. When you're taking a walk and you happen to stop under one of those trees and it's yellow or red and the sun is shining and it almost hurts your eyes as you're looking at that brilliance of those leaves, and you say to yourself, How beautiful, Lord. Man, you are just so amazing. And you say that aloud or you say it in your heart and you're just filled with awe. Is that bringing pleasure to God? Yes. Is that worship? Yes. When you get up in the morning and you hop into the shower and a song from Sunday morning or a scripture some Sunday morning pops into your mind and you think about that and you give God thanks and you do a little shower singing, is that worship? Yes, of course that's worship. And that's truly bearing you all before the Lord, right? You betcha. You know, Pascal once wrote that inside of each person is a God-shaped void which cannot be filled with anything less than a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When we come together in worship, we're filling that God-shaped void. Oh, folks, we don't attend worship to squeeze God into our lives or to squeeze a little bit of Jesus in us. Instead, we come seeking to meld our lives into the presence of God, and there can be nothing more exciting than that. You see, Psalm 84 describes the passionate heart of one who is worshiping God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Man, I would rather be a doorkeeper. What do doorkeepers do? They wash the feet of the people who come in, right? I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather wash the stink off of people's feet than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Blessed are those who trust in you, the psalmist bursts out, hardly able to contain himself. You ever felt yourself so excited about worshiping God that you can hardly that you can hardly contain yourself? Have you ever been that passionate about worshiping Jesus? See, God uses worship to transform lives, to heal wounded souls, to renew hope, to shape direction, to provoke change, to inspire compassion, and to bind his people together. Oh, God, through Jesus Christ, actively seeks relationship with us through worship. Just think about what we are missing when we decide that we can't make it here. Think about it. You know, from the earliest accounts of faith, people gathered to pray. People gathered to sing and to listen for the word of God, to share in the common meal. You know, the word synagogue means to bring together. And the Greek word for the church, ecclesia, man, that means called out of the world. Called out of the world to bring us together. Oh, worship was the reason given specifically and repeatedly why God liberated the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. You remember Exodus 8, let my people go. Why? So that they may worship me. Wow. Worship is what defines us as God's people. It is only when we are born again or born of God through faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ that we are able to truly worship God. And when we worship, we practice the highest command that Jesus has taught us, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what that's about. With all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, because you see, that's what's happening when you're worshiping. Think about it. You're loving those neighbors around you as you blend your logs together. Think about it. Worship blends our hearts toward God as it stretches our hearts outward toward others. From today's psalm, the writer describes an eagerness for a relationship with God in worship. He says, my soul yearns, it even faints for the courts of my Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. See, Psalm 84 is perhaps the most expressive and beautiful of all of the songs of Zion. It was one of the songs that was either sang or it was recited by pilgrims as they made their way up to the holy city, as they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, as they experienced the temple. Oh, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns for you. Oh, you see, there is a bond between the pilgrim and the place. There is a longing to be present in Jerusalem and to behold God's temple. Oh, that longing is very much how one longs for home after one has been away from home for such a long time. In other words, the psalmist is homesick for their true home, God's house. But not like a building, but rather for God. That longing is for God Himself. You see, the experience of the particular place, that temple, that in Jerusalem, puts the psalmist in touch with God's presence over all places. And that's the same for us today, isn't it? Isn't it? And I suppose that's why folks get so attached to church buildings. Really, we know the building. We know the building itself is not the church. This is not the church. We understand that. Yet, like these ancient pilgrims who longed to behold God's temple, it was really a longing to be with God Himself. And so, we often are most blessed when we dwell in this house, right? And we're blessed when we're in the shower singing, and we're blessed when we're in the car, and we're blessed whenever we're out walking, but it's a different thing, isn't it? There's a different feeling that we get when we come into this place. And we know this isn't the church, but we know this is, right? Yeah. When we dwell in the house of the Lord, you see, that's why coming to worship is essential to our faith, because it's where we have entered God's house. This is where we have a home with the Lord who meets us here, and He meets us in other places, yes, but here in the church is unlike any other place that we experience God. The psalmist cries out to God. He said, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Blessed are those who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. I want to tell you, church, Christianity is not a destination. It is a journey. We begin the journey when we make that commitment in our life to Christ. And the pilgrimage continues through our lives as we continually come together and find strength upon strength through worshiping God in this community. And so in our pilgrimage, worship is to be passionate and alive and authentic and fresh and engaging. And we come together with open hearts and minds seeking to worship God with an openness to God's presence and truth and God's will for our life. And that's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to work, right? Oh, yeah. But you and I both know that it doesn't always happen like that, right? Yeah. Sometimes we come intending to participate in worship as insiders, But then we find ourselves evaluating worship as if we were outsiders, as if we were somehow worship critics. You know? And just like going out to eat, we evaluate everything according to our own tastes. Well, I didn't know that second song at all. That prayer was so long, can you believe? I thought I was going to go to sleep. My hands were going numb. And the service, that lasted, man, that was long service. We got to cut a lot of that out of there. For some reason, we took up the offering when we don't normally take up the offering that time, you know? See, we tend to forget that in worship, there is an audience of one. There's only one audience. That's God Himself. We are here to worship Him together. And we are all a part of that worship experience. When we sang this morning that, you know, I hope that all of our hearts were there singing and lifting up to the Lord as we lifted up our love and our devotion, and that we didn't just mouth the words. And when we came to our prayer time, do we truly expect to draw near to God's heart and to lift up God's our hearts, you know, our heart's desires? Or is that just some time that, man, we really wish that we hurry on and get on with things, you know? When the scripture is being read, and especially when it's a long one like Psalm 84, do we listen carefully or even read along and think about how these living words affect my life? Or do we just kind of zone out? Or I've heard that song before, that psalm, or I've heard that passage, and we just kind of numb out to it, you know? You see, our experience of worship begins with the attitude, the spiritual eagerness and passion that we bring with us. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, he knew this. He knew all about this. He knew how essential it was for early Methodists to prepare themselves for worship. That worship didn't start whenever you got up on Sunday morning, you got here and you're sitting in your pews. No, worship starts on Monday. And it goes all the way through Saturday getting us ready. And worship is that time that we can get together and we can squeal a little in church and be blessed. Right? You betcha. I love that blessing. But John Wesley, he called us to practice these means of grace, to be accountable to one another in Christ. In fact, Wesley even had instructions, imagine that, for us Methodists to even help us lift up our voices during worship. Do you know that? He even gave us instructions on how to sing for worship. He was a good methodical guy, I tell you. And to this day, those directions are still being printed in the United Methodist hymnals. And if we had one, you could look at those seven instructions of how Methodists sing. I want to share with you three of them. Number four, the fourth one, starting with the fourth one. He encourages us and the early Methodists to sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you're half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice and sing. I'm not kidding. It's in there. It's in there. Number five is my favorite one. This is my favorite one. He says, sing modestly. Do not bawl so as to be heard above or distinct from the rest of the congregation, that you may not destroy the harmony, but strive to unite your voices together so as to make one clear, melodious sound. Wow. Don't bawl out. Huh? And number seven, above all, Wesley writes, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word that you sing. And why is that? Because worship's only about to one person, isn't it? And it's God. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. In worship, there's an audience of one. In how we sing and how we pray and how we greet others and how we approach the sacraments, passionate worship begins with our love for God and our eagerness for relationship with God. And what each one of us brings to worship shapes the experience for everyone. Passionate worship begins with each one of us. And so probably the best way to deepen our experience with God and our experience in worship is for each one of us to actively prepare our hearts and our minds, our souls, before we ever think about walking through the doors. Nothing reinforces corporate worship more than our relationship with God through Christ, which is lived out each and every day. And nothing keeps us, keeps that relationship fresh and exciting more than that vibrant personal devotional life that begins with prayer and meeting God through His Word every day. Each one of us has a part in fostering passionate worship. And it's not just those who are playing in our praise music, and it's not just the scripture that I am blessed every Sunday to hear Nicole share with us, or the prayers, or even myself. Worship is the work of all of us. All of us together lifting up our love in many different ways to that audience of one. The challenge this week is to make a commitment, is to make another step toward a life generous toward God in response to the salvation that we've received from Jesus Christ. So today, as the ushers come and we share those commitment cards, that worship commitment cards together, I just want to encourage you as committed Christians to take that third step to grow in your worship commitment. To come on Sundays expecting to meet God in this place, to prepare our hearts ahead of time, those six other days, to participate as one as we all lift up our love to the Lord. This morning, I want to give you just a few minutes to complete your cards, and then we'll close in song. And I want you to remember that as you fill out those cards today, that they're only going to be seen by me. And at the end of the series, I'll give them back to you. Okay? Let's pray together. Loving God, we come before you this day in awe of who you are, amazed at all you have done, and thankful for your presence with us each and every day of our lives. May we live lives of worship. Let our gratitude and joy of all you have done for us be reflected in our faithfulness. Let our worship be a light shining for you in our world so that others might see you living and breathing in us. For it's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.